Good afternoon all. I think we'll make a start, members. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting today. Can everyone hear me clearly? Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded, except where the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would remind councillors of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on the item and should not take part in that vote. Okay, members, we don't have any apologies today, so we'll move on to the second item. Members, has anybody got any conflicts of interest that we should declare today?
Yes, Chair. For item number 25, I declare an interest.
Okay, thanks for that. Okay, members.
Chair, can I just declare an interest at number 25 as well?
Okay, thanks for that, Christine. Thank you. Item 3 then is the action list. And I'm pleased to say that all of the actions except one is completed, and the one action that is outstanding, there is a meeting to take place on a grants database, and then that will come back to committee, to a future committee audit committee meeting. So are members content then to approve the action list and to take all the other actions as completed and remove them? Councillor Hardy has proposed. I heard. Seconder? Okay, thank you. And that takes us on, members, then to item four, which is the corporate risk register. Andrina, you're going to take us through that.
Thank you, Chair. Members, you'll see in your pack the corporate risk register, which currently stands for this council. You'll be aware that the FMT review this on a quarterly basis, and the last review by the senior management team was taken out, undertaken at their April FMT meeting. You'll also be aware that we now have a system quite well embedded whereby a quarterly assurance statements are completed for each of the directorates. We're currently in the process of completing the assurance statements for the year ended 31st of March, and this is a key document which will inform the Chief Executive's governance statement, which will appear in the annual accounts and which you'll see in its draft form at your next meeting. So at item two there, you will see that the key issues really are that there's been no new risks added since you've last seen the register. We had at our last meeting added a new risk in the form of Corporate Risk 9, and that's around transformation of services. You'll now see in your pack that risk has been populated, and there are a number of actions identified to address that risk, each of which is in progress. The risk largely being addressed by a body of work carried out by the SMT and the CMT, and there's a number of cross-cutting projects underway. Each of the other risks has been updated, I suppose, at a minor level, and hopefully you'll see that comments have been identified to give you an idea of where we are in trying to address each of the risks and trying to carry out the actions. So happy to take any comments or questions on that, and that's the corporate risk register is for noting, members.
Okay, members, any comments, questions for Drina on the corporate risk register?
Has there been any of the changes moved some of the risks into the red sector, or are the reds all ones that were there previously?
No, there's been nothing that has elevated the corporate risk since the last time that you've seen it.
Okay, members, happy to note.
One question. It's under CR4, page 6, GDPR, obviously, and the comment does state that the audit will begin literally today, and a 3-week turnaround, but we've brought in the Crime Records Management to do gap analysis. Does that mean it starts from today, that they'll be conducting that and that we will do the gap analysis? Seems such a short space turnaround, and given that we were aware that this was coming some months ago.
We've been doing some work in the background and trying to identify there's many things that need to happen really to become GDPR compliant. What the piece of work that we've brought Crown in to do is a very high level gap analysis, which is aligned to a 12-point plan that the ICO have produced. And the ICO have said that basically this is, I suppose, best practice guidance to try and get bodies to a GDPR compliant level. So we've brought Crown in to do a piece of work around that specifically and to identify the high risk areas that we have. There'll be a huge volume of work then underneath that to then go and address the actions. So it's going to be an ongoing process for quite some time. There actually is a meeting ongoing at the minute with Crown, and so they are in today to start. Patrick Green, who's our head of compliance, has been doing a lot of work himself and has been doing work with Crown in advance of this, but today is their first on-site visit with staff. Their staff, key data controlling staff across the organisation, are all in a meeting today to try and identify where are our high-risk areas, and we're going to take a risk-based approach to try and to become GDPR compliant.
And those risks that are identified as part of the analysis, what committee will that go to, or will it come to a committee to make the councillors aware that we are at risk?
Yeah, well it'll risks will be identified if they're at a corporate level. They'll appear on our corporate risk register. So this committee will have a level of oversight. You'll also be aware that we have brought reports to SPNR to advise that committee of GDPR compliance and work ongoing. We'll continue to do that, and there'll probably be further training courses for members in due course as well. I know there have been 2 already in this area, but we'll probably run more in due course as well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, members, content to note the corporate risk register.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll move on to item 5, which is fraud and whistleblowing update. And Jared, you're going to take the members through this.
Thank you, Chair. So it's just a standing agenda item to update you from the last committee. So since the last committee in January, there's no new suspected fraud cases, but there has been 2 new whistleblowing cases since the last committee in January. And since that time, 2 whistleblowing cases have been closed. And just within the appendix, the cases that have been closed have been highlighted in grey. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for that, Jared. Members, any questions, comments for Jared?
Yeah. Chair, just under the staff member from Corporate Services, so obviously I can only assume from the context of it's the lessons learnt piece that we had the report done. Is there a time limit of when this can actually run, or when we aim to have it actually closed off? Because it's coming, it is coming a year, over a year, that it was flagged and reported. And is this going to be something that's going to run for a number of years? What are we doing about to get it closed and resolved?
From the audit committee's perspective, the reason that we brought the lessons learned report is that the investigation has gone as far as we can take it at this point with regard to the remit of the audit committee. There is other work going on which is outside the remit of this audit committee. We're leaving it open at this point in case that other work may impact on the findings of the lessons learned report, or whether there's more evidence that comes to light that would allow our internal auditors to close down that report. We can't impose a time limit on that. It's just not possible for us to do. It has to really run its course. We're leaving it open until such times as we can conclude. But I suppose the reason that we were keen to bring a lessons learned report to you is on the basis of the evidence that we that has come to light to date. You know, this audit committee has been kept very well informed of the findings to date. It does remain on internal audit schedule as a report still to be concluded, but we can't impose a timescale on that at this point. So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, members. I think, Dorina, from the audit committee's perspective, I suppose really we need to be satisfied that really the lessons are being learned. And whilst we did consider that report at the last audit committee meeting, it would be probably useful to bring maybe a report on the lessons learned, just to really give us an update as to whether those are now in place or not to a future audit committee.
I suppose, if I may, Chair, the lessons learned were, a lot of them were best practice guidance. A lot of them are something that we as an organisation will strive to do for every procurement going forward. There is a review of procurement compliance which will hit internal audit schedule for next year. And I would suggest that that's probably the most beneficial way that this committee will get a level of assurance as to whether or not we are complying with all of those best practice points and recommendations going forward. So if the committee would be agreeable to that, I think that's probably the most appropriate way that you'll get an assurance level will be next year's internal audit, and obviously we'll feed into that.
Okay, members content with that approach? Thanks for that, Dorina. So members are content then to note item 5. Then the next one is item 6. Chair.
Thank you, Chair. So this is just to bring to your attention any contracts awarded in the period over 5,000 which didn't have a competition. So in the fourth quarter of the year, from 1st of January to 31st of March 2018, the Council awarded 14 contracts by the way of direct award with a total value of 124,000. So the appendix lists each of them individually, but just to bring to your attention, the contracts highlighted in orange are all to do with the ERT department and really around the running of festivals. So management have already decided to get internal audit to look at the running of festivals next year, and is there any way we can reduce the number of DSCs coming from the ERT department? Thanks.
Okay, Gerard, thank you. Members, any questions, comments for Gerard on direct award contracts? Thanks for that, Gerard. Item 7 is an update on audit recommendations. And that's you again, Gerard.
Thanks, Chair. So this is just an update on both the internal audit recommendations and then audit office. So the internal audit recommendations refer to the 2015-16 reports, and we've made quite a good progress at the minute. So outstanding from the 42 recommendations is currently 6, and these 6 recommendations really refer to the IT strategy and also the off-street car parking, which was in relation to the Transport NI agreement, which doesn't end in 2019, so can't be implemented until then. Christine is bringing her follow-up report for 16-17 recommendations at the end of the committee. So in the July audit committee, I'll be doing a follow-up of the 16-17 reports, and Joe would also like me to bring an update, keep these 6 recommendations that are still live, so I'll have a separate table just to see if there's been any progress on the 15-16 recommendations. In relation to the audit office recommendations, 2015-16 report, there's 3 recommendations which are still only partially implemented, and the most recent report in 2016-17, there's 5 of the recommendations still partially implemented, so still work to do. Thanks.
Okay, Chair, thanks for that. Members, any questions, comments?
Just a question on the off-street parking. That contract has been extended, against my view, anyway, to 2022. So how does that change things there?
I hadn't got an update from Collie, as I thought it was until 2019, so I'll have to stick with Collie Jackson, who's over off the car parking. So I'll come back to you in relation to the recommendations.
I'd be very happy if it wasn't extended, but...
Right, okay.
I'm fairly sure it has been.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Members happy to move on. To note really the update on the audit recommendations and move on to item 8, which is an update on procurement.
Thank you, Chair. So at the last audit committee in January, you're provided with the new procurement policy and procedures for the council. It was approved at STNR on the 14th of December and subsequently ratified by council on the 8th of January 18. Subsequent to this, we have business case templates which have now been devised and they were approved at the February SMT meeting. However, these templates have already been road tested by a number of departments within the council and revisions have been made to the templates. So the next step is the training which has been scheduled for procurement. So Florence Gregg is a procurement expert and training is now in the diaries. So there is 2 2-day sessions in June 2018 and 80 staff have been selected to attend these training sessions over the 2 sites. So the training is going to cover the drafting business cases, drafting tender documents, tender evaluations and then also training on the council's e-hub system. But this is going to be delivered in-house and via First Derivatives who own the e-hub system. Since the paper was completed on procurement, another session has been put in with Florence, and this is basically for management level of staff on the 11th of May 2018. So they're getting a high level overview of our procurement policy and the procedures we have in place. We also have the first phase of the procurement report done by internal audit, which reviewed our policy and all our templates. So it got a satisfactory assurance. However, there is a number of recommendations to make the policy stronger, and these will be done prior to the first training course on the 11th of May 2018. Thank you.
Okay, Jared, thanks for that. Members, any comments, questions for Jared on item 8? No? Members happy to note and move on to item 9, which is prompt payments.
Ken, you're going to take us.
Thank you, Chair.
Yep.
This is another standing item on the agenda of the Audit Committee. As a result of the timing of the Audit Committees, there are 2 quarters of figures to be presented to you today. The first is for the period 1st of October 2017 to 31st of December 2017. As you can see, there was 6% of invoices paid within 10 days, 84% paid within 30 days, and 16% paid outside 30 days. The overall average number of days taken to pay a supplier was 24 days. In section 2.2 of your report, the period just ended 31st of March 2018, shows that there was 10% of invoices paid within 10 days, 88% paid within 30 days, and 12% paid outside that period of 30 days, with the average number of days taken to pay a supplier down from 24 to 22. So there has been a slight improvement in the last quarter's figures. The average for the 4 quarters for the financial year ended 31st of March will be 86%. That concludes the report. Chair?
Okay, thanks for that, Ken. Members, any questions, comments for Ken?
How does the figures compare with previous years or legacy councils, if I can use that term again?
Yeah. I would need to do the analysis of that.
Right.
I haven't compared them against the two legacy, but can bring that back to the next committee.
Okay.
Okay, Councillor Casey, Councillor Devlin.
It's not me.
Sorry, Councillor Hannah. Apologies.
Well, Laura wants to go ahead. No, just a question there on the 1st of January to 31st of March. That 5,226,000, I know it's only 12%. There must be very, very large invoices. How many days roughly are you talking about? And whenever you go past the 30 days, then are you talking about 70, 80, 90 days?
I wouldn't have thought so, Chair. The why that would be so big this period was there was a couple of big invoices paid to for the contracts or capital contracts for the two leisure centres, and they're paid within 30 day or on a 30 day contract.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks for that. Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair Ken. Thanks for that information. I suppose it goes in the back of Charlie's question. I think that is a good one in terms of the legacy, you know, turnaround period for payments, because, and again, it's only hearsay, but I have been told by a number of suppliers that they were paid quicker on the old down system than they are on the new one. And I know that the council has adopted the Newry way of paying suppliers, so I'd be keen to know how that would compare, because if I was a small business and I was lying outside of those figures, it is difficult to make ends meet. I think this is something that's important to be on here as a recurring item. So if you could check those figures, Ken, that would be appreciated.
Okay. Thanks for that, Councillor Devlin. Members, happy to note item 9. Item 10 is managing the risk and bribery and corruption. And this is action points from the report that was given to the last meeting. And Chair, do you want to take...
Thank you, Chair. So from the best practice guide, we carried out a self-assessment, and we had four actions, so it's just to update you on the actions. The first one was to develop a conflict of interest policy. This is also highlighted by internal audit in two of their reports. So a draft policy has been completed and will be presented to the SPNR in May 2018. The procurement documents, so request for quotation and invitation to tender templates, should be updated to ensure a link to the fraud policy and fraud response plan are included. Templates have now been updated. The Newry Moore and Down District Council standard terms of contracts will include a statement on the risk of termination of contract where bribery or corruption is suspected or approved. So Belfast Legal were drafting our standard terms of contract, and this has now been completed and includes a line on bribery and corruption. And the final action was those employees at a higher risk of bribery and corruption, i.e. those in procurement, planning or regulatory functions, should be given more detailed, tailored anti-bribery and corruption training. So no formal training has taken place as of yet for the actual units, but I do be in constant sort of liaison with the grants unit and the procurement unit giving advice, but it will be penciled in for the future.
Okay, thanks for that, Chair. Members, any questions, comments for Jared on that report? Jared, you mentioned in your report the conflicts of interest policy. Presumably whenever that is approved by SPNR, it'll be tabled at the audit committee for information.
Yeah, we can bring it to the audit committee.
Yeah, I think that would be useful. So thanks for the update. Item 11 is the year-end accounts update 2017-18. And Ken, you're going to take us through this one.
Thank you, Chair. This report details the timetable for the accounts preparation for the accounts ended 31st of March 2018, which has to be filed with the Department of Communities on the 30th of June of this year. So it gives us 3 months to prepare the accounts. The main events to get us there have been listed within the timetable. The ones that have a bearing on the audit committee, the number 4 draft governance statement will be completed. Well, the first draft will be completed by the 8th of May. as the draft remuneration report detailing the salaries of senior staff. That will be completed by the 25th of May. First run on calculating depreciation. We cannot do that until around the first week of June, as we will not have the LPS asset revaluations this year. We are having to do a full valuation on 20% of all our assets, backed up by an 80% desktop exercise, and that can only be achieved by LPS by first week of June, hopefully. The landfill provision review, which looks at the amount of money that we have provided for the two landfill sites over the life of the two sites, which is 40 years for Auchnagun and 58 years now for Drumnakelly. That will be reviewed by 4th of May. Again, the gas income streams from both sites, which is reflected as a debtor in the accounts, will have to be reviewed, and we hope to conclude that by the 9th of May. Assessments of whether group accounts are required, we will be concluding that this week, as indeed the review of accounting policies and looking at the general power of competence. MRP calculation, which is the cost of our capital program, which hits the accounts and hits the ratepayers, will be calculated hopefully by the 11th of May. The other ones of note for the audit committee, the management accounts will be going to the SPNR for the full year on the 15th of June, and the draft accounts subject to audit to go to the audit committee will be has yet to be confirmed.
Thank you. Okay, thanks for that, Ken. Any questions, comments to Ken on the audit, the accounts timetable? Ken, could I just maybe just ask one question? The review of accounting policies, is there likely to be any changes to the accounting policies?
So it'll be
the same accounting policies. And in terms of timetable, then you're confident of being able to deliver on it with a lot of hard work?
One would hope so.
Yes, well, that's good. So thanks very much, Ken, for that detailed presentation of the timetable. Very helpful. Members happy to note the year-end accounts update? So we'll move on to item 12, which is the Audit and Risks Assurance Committee Handbook Revision. So it's just an update on that.
Thank you, Chair. So,
Chair, go and take that.
The purpose of this paper was recently a Dear Accounting Officer letter was issued for a revision of the Audit and Risk Assurance Handbook. So there's two sections which were revised, and this was whistleblowing and cybersecurity sections. So just a quick update. In relation to whistleblowing, Newry Moore and Dundas Council revised its policy in June 2017. The policy was revised, taking into account best practice, and was also reviewed by the Audit Office Fraud Unit prior to the policy being ratified by the Council. After the policy was introduced, compulsory governance set awareness sessions were arranged for all staff to attend, and whistleblowing was one of the main topics covered. 580 staff, 85 staff within the council attended these sessions. The other questions relate to different sections within the policy, Then the last question was in relation to whistleblowing report to senior management. Just to flag that whistleblowing report is quarterly at each audit committee. In relation to cyber security, I got a response from the IT manager. So I don't think we are where we want to be in relation to cyber security at the minute. But the response was, the area of cyber security is a fast evolving area, and key to achieving robust risk management in this area is having a robust and stable IT infrastructure, which has currently been addressed through the IT transformation program. At present, management's response to this risk area is more reactive than proactive, and improvements will be made through the IT transformation. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks for that, Chair. Members, any questions, comments for Chair on item 12? Okay, members, happy to note. And we'll move on to item 13, which is circulars.
Yes, members, two circulars have issued from the Department for Community since the date of our last meeting, so we have tabled them for noting. The first one is the designation of the new local government auditor, and you were advised of that at your last meeting, so this is the departmental circular just confirming that Pamela McCready has taken over as local government auditor. The second circular tabled for your information then is the accounts direction, which we received. There's a lot of detail in that circular. I don't propose to go through it. It's an important circular for this audit committee because it does state the requirements for ourselves in producing our annual report and accounts, and it's something that the audit office will audit to. Key in terms of timetable at paragraph 10 of Appendix B is that we need to produce our accounts and submit them to the department by the 30th of June. And then it's drawn to your attention that there is the earlier audit close-off date of the 30th of September. So we have a requirement that we work with the local government auditor to achieve an audit completion date of the 30th of September. So those are for noting for the audit committee's information, Chair.
Okay, thanks for that. Drina, members, any questions, comments for Drina? Drina, in relation to the audit committee meeting, and the audit committee meeting to consider the audit of the accounts, is that scheduled for the 20th, Thursday the 20th of September?
Yes, we have an audit committee provisionally in the timetable of the 20th of September. Obviously, all of our committee dates will be subject to, we will confirm those following the AGM held on the 1st of June. So once we've had our 1st of June AGM, we'll write out to you all officially, but at the minute we're holding that date in our diary, and that's been agreed with the audit office as a date that we're working towards.
Yeah, and that's an important meeting for the audit committee, for members, on the basis that really that we will, at that meeting, make a recommendation to full council to approve the accounts. So if members just take a note that really provisionally it's the 20th of September. Okay, Drina, so that's item 13 completed.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, if I could just ask at this point, just for a slight change to the agenda, if you don't mind, items 14 and 16 can be taken in open session. So if you're content, we'll take those in open session before we would move into closed.
Okay, members, are we content to do that? Yeah, okay, thank you. That's Sally, if you can then take us through item 14, which is the draft performance improvement objectives for 2018-19.
Yeah. information, and again, we're currently at the moment that is for the questionnaire available both on the council's website, through the social media channel, and the hard copy available at some of our public receptions. We've also seen that all the offers in local newspapers, and we're currently trying to make a case with each of our 7 central electoral areas. And then the exact tail and the number of events and partners we've successful with people have been set up. The conversation was amazing today, and I mentioned before, we would have seen here for you to find out that set all the time, especially as we might really have a meeting with you, and again, the other way to go there is to want to part of our family, and all that stuff, and then we'll be able to
take
care of it. Okay.
Members, any questions, comments for Johnny? Just one question for me, Johnny. I just know that really the consultation is for 8 weeks, as opposed to the, I think it legally it's normally should be 12 weeks. Are you satisfied that really that 8 weeks is sufficient in terms of getting, as much meaningful feedback as you can get, or we normally get?
Yes, sir, I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
Quality.
Yes. Right, okay.
And the
Thanks for that, Johnny. Members, content to note item 14, and then we'll move on to item 16, which is the NIAO Improvement Audit and Assessment Report, and its update on the proposals for improvement. Okay, Johnny? Okay, thanks for that, Johnny. Members, any questions, comments for Johnny on item 16? Members happy to note item 16? That's great. Thanks very much for that, Johnny. Could I now have a proposer and seconder to go into closed business session? Councillor Sharvin proposed and Councillor Devon second. And Dorina is going to just read through then really the decisions that were taken whenever we were in closed session.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. So whilst in closed session, the Oil Committee considered the following items. Item 15, It was agreed to note the contents of the correspondence from SOLIS regarding the performance improvement across local government. Item 17, it was agreed to note the contents of the correspondence received from the Northern Ireland Audit Office regarding the Performance Improvement Strategy 2017-18. Item 18, it was agreed to note the contents of the Internal Audit Summary Report. Item 19, it was agreed to note the contents of the ASM Annual Assurance Report 2017-18. Item 20, on the proposal of Councillor Harty, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed to approve the internal audit plan for 2018-19 as presented with the changes proposed accepted. Item 21, it was agreed to note the contents of the audit follow-up report 2016-17. Item 22, it was agreed to note the contents of the review of planning report. Item 23, it was agreed to note the contents of the disaster recovery and progress in implementing the IT strategy report. Item 24, it was agreed to note the contents of the procurement review. At item 25, it was agreed in the proposal of Councillor Harty, seconded by Councillor Murnan, to recommend utilising the final extension period in ASM's internal audit contract.
Okay, members, thanks for that, Sabrina. And that brings us on to our last item, which is item 26, and that is to agree the meeting date for the next meeting. And the suggested dates are either the 4th or the 5th of July. That's Wednesday, the 4th of July or the 5th of July. And I think those dates are free in the council diary at this moment in time. So has members got a preference as to whether we go for the 4th or the 5th? Thursday better? Would members be content to go with the 5th? Thursday the 5th? So we'll make that as the date for the next meeting. And on that basis then, if there's no other business, I'll bring the meeting to a close. And can I thank everyone for their attendance and for their contribution. And can I thank Jared and Sarah for putting the agenda together and giving it out in a timely fashion. Thank you.